Hello and welcome to this week's Irish Rules podcast. My name is Tony Lawler and I'm coming to you from sunny Bulgaria. I didn't manage to get to the match on Sunday, obviously, as I'm away. So I thought, what better could I do than talk to Mick McQuillan and Tony Cullen, two of our Irish Rules members, as people will know, and just asking how they got on Sunday, their adventures in travelling up from Manchester down to Wolverhampton and back again, and how they got on during the day. Hope you enjoy it.
Can you see me now?
Ah, there you go, yeah. Anyway, how are you?
Great, it's not a lot, actually. Recovered from Sunday.
Yeah. Well, listen, we'll start anyway. And Tony is supposed to join. I sent him the link and all that stuff. If he joins, well and good.
All right.
If he doesn't. So, So, come here anyway. I suppose from the start anyway, was it, what, you at 3 o'clock, half 3 started you?
Yeah, left at half 3. Gave myself probably an extra 10 minutes from last week, you know.
Yeah.
And I got up there, got the bus about 5 o'clock. Actually, I was in the airport at 5 o'clock. When I got into the airport, straight away, I said, holy Jesus, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And, you know, they were setting up zigzags everywhere. But, you know, your mama setting it up, and he was over to Area 7, way over to the right.
Yeah.
And he says, from here, he says, to the check-in with your phone, he says, is about a half an hour.
Yeah.
And that was at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
So I was in the queue there and I rang Tony. And Tony was about 10 minutes earlier than me. And he rang me about 5:15 to say he just got through security.
Yeah.
But when I got to the gate there with the phone, sure, we were held up for another 10 minutes. They wouldn't let us through because there was too many to fire side. So eventually I got through security as just after 6:02. That was a full hour from the time it started queuing.
Jeez. And what's his flight?
The flight was at 6:25.
Yeah.
So it was tight. But Tony had told me that it was at gate 213, which was the short walk.
Oh, yeah.
Was great. So that was a help. But there was a lot of people there. And I felt sorry for them. You knew they were going to miss that flight. I let a couple of different foreign people in front of me.
Yeah.
The thing that really pissed me off was, there was only 4 security checks open in all Dublin Airport.
Yeah.
And that was great. For 2 terminals, that was crazy.
Yeah.
And then I let the lad in, get in front of me, and he went over to put his case down, and your woman read him. I didn't call you forward. And I just said, holy Jesus, he's panicking. Yeah. And this is, you're shouting at authority. But anyway, he got through, and I wouldn't have thought that he'd got his plane. But lucky enough, I got through, and I went down, and our flight was fairly well boarded, and I got down. It was about, 10:15. And there's a couple of Leeds fans that I met going across, and they came on the plane. They were sitting around me, and I asked the woman, could he try and hold it back a bit? Did a few lads stuck in the security? And she said, we're hanging around for another 10 minutes or so.
Yeah.
So they got on board fair due. But the plane went off unusual time, and it's in fairness, I'd say it was only about 4:30, which is very unusual for a Ryanair flight, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, it took off, and that we got into Manchester good and early, which was grand, and we had a bit of time in hand. We went and got something to eat, myself and Tony, and then we took the trip up to Wolverhampton, and you know, that end of it went fairly well. But look, we were supposed to go, the lads were asked about meeting up and heading out to Sedgley. But myself and Tony were talking, we just said, hang on, Jesus, we're going to be travelling till 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I wasn't on for travelling up all what we were doing, and then travelling out again, and then having to travel back for the match. So we went down to the shop to pick up the tickets for the Watford game, and of course, a man said, we don't have them. So I said, well, what's the story? He said, being in shoes, you said, that's no good to me. Look, I live in Ireland. How am I going to get the tickets?
Yeah, true.
The next game, I says, he didn't even know that our next game was that one we're looking for. So he said, look, I'll take your number and he said, we'll get them sent over to you, you know, on Tuesday. Yeah. And he seemed sound enough to lad it anyway.
Yeah.
So
hopefully they'll arrive with you anyway. So you get there. Tony's just with us now. Hey, Tony, finishing the dinner, yeah?
No, I'm just having a few peanuts.
Jesus, you're not having much luck, Tony. On Sunday, we were reduced to crisps.
Yeah, Yeah, Jesus, that was an expensive bag of crisps.
Two coke, you know, and the amount of bullshit that went on before we get them. That's a story.
Where was that?
We need a Tony there with his app. Me and you were struggling.
Yeah. There you go. It's nice to be missed. You were in McGee's. We saw the picture.
That was a decision made that we'd go up and have a couple of nice relaxing pints in McGee's.
And how was John Ollery?
Wasn't there.
No. Bit early, was it?
We were halfway through the first pint and the fucking patioke started up. Yeah. 2 o'clock. Was it 2 o'clock, Mick? Yeah.
No, it was 12.
Half 11.
Yeah,
because
we were out there before then. Yeah, 12 o'clock.
I'm the one with the time difference here, lads, not you. You were in the same place.
At one point, there was more staff than customers in McGee's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He probably gets a kind of last hour rush before the game, or does he?
Perhaps.
But I was going to say, you didn't visit the shop again this week, no?
We went down, but we didn't go.
Oh, that's good. So where did you go into Glebe and Wolf then after our?
Yeah. The plan was we had a couple now. They were lovely points again. It was about 3 points in McGee's there, and I think Tony was only around. It was early enough when we left McGee's and before people start coming in, and then we decided we were going down to have a look, see what time the team bus come in.
Yeah,
that was the idea, because both of us were driving when we got back to Ireland, so we weren't going on the lash, as a fella says. So we went down, it was going to take too long, so we went down to Leap and Wolf, and we watched sort of the Burnley-Leeds match there, and then we then left, and we went over to, what they call it, the lounge, and met the Nardies, and had a bit of crack there, you know.
and of course, the Bell George, like Obi was there, so he was entertaining,
very. I don't even able to tell you there, but I said the comment, one of the best comments, he was asked about, you know, about Mick McCarthy, and he was very informative and very, very witty.
Yeah.
But he did say, you know, you train all week. He was asked about Traore, you know, how would he mark him, you know? But he says, you after the game is over, you wouldn't understand. He said, but you're studying next opponent and next opponent. You're studying all week. He says, when you're studying all week, you're looking for raw meat on match day. You know, I thought it was a fantastic
interview.
And then, and he was very adamant he scored the 2 goals against United, but we were shouting up Kevin Doyle.
But in fairness, I was only saying it the other day to Noel McKillen, I think, there on the message, and I was saying, you know, before the game, I said, that night, I don't think there was any doubt that he got to deal with him. I don't know what part of Doyle's head the ball hit now, but he was credited with it anyway, so I suppose you can't argue with that.
He looked well now, didn't he, Mick? He looked fit as, like, I know he's still playing at a non-league level, but like, he looked fitter than when he was playing with us.
They showed him on Sky before the game, shaking hands. I think it was the Billy Roy, people going past in the sand as he was walking, obviously to a sea. And he was shaking hands with people. So everyone loved him anyway. He was a great character.
He was on the screen at half time. He was interviewing.
Yeah.
Half time on the screen. So that was it, you know.
Anyway, getting to the game itself then. What do you think? Was the atmosphere good in the build up beforehand?
The atmosphere was good. I think the two of us were in fairly early after cues from the Spurs match. And it was good build up. United fans were giving it Ronaldo and all that sort of stuff. But it was good build up, and the match was good. Now we should have been 3 up after 10 or 12 minutes.
Yeah, I was watching. I got a bit of the Burnley Leeds game the last 15-20 minutes before our game came on. And Jesus, I was watching it, and people were moaning about our season ticket prices there before the season when they were announced. And at Burnley, just there was loads of empty seats at Burnley, and people were saying Burnley are, you know, they're a couple of hundred quid cheaper than us for season tickets. But yes, there was huge numbers of empty seats. The atmosphere was awful. It was very poor. I mean, when switching over to Molyneux before the game, geez, no comparison. The atmosphere was absolutely fantastic, you know. But
it was good atmosphere. Yeah. When the match kicked off, it was great, you know.
Yeah, you were saying like we should have been 2 or 3 up, but overall, then the game, what were the What were the other things that stood out during the game?
I think the defense was very good. Like we controlled the whole game. I don't know what the stats were on the possessions, but like they had a couple of, like we were all over them for say 20-25 minutes. They came into it a little bit towards the end of the first half, but they didn't really create any chances, Mick, did they?
No. It was a game. I suppose the best way I put it up, a referee's decision losses the game, led to our defeat.
Yeah.
But we'd only ourselves to blame for not winning it, because we had enough chances to have won the game. And, you know, looking at the game, I say I've been at the three games now, and I've watched the pre-seasons as well. But the three games I watched, three good games. We were away at Leicester, and I thought, you know, we were the better side by far there.
Yeah.
They had one chance, and Vardy, fair dues to him, it was a fabulous goal. They beat us 1-0, but they did not deserve. We should have come away with 3 points there. And then I was worrying then that the following week at Spurs, because as I watched the Spurs, the way they played against City and what happened against City, my big worry was we conceded an early goal and then leave ourselves open to get caught when we were trying to get the goal back.
Yeah.
But I was really, really pleasantly surprised with the Spurs game, because yes, we pressed them, but we didn't give them any chances, because we were very good at the back. And, you know, I know it's early season yet, but you were at the match, Tony Lawler. You were at, and, you know, it's the same thing. Martial didn't look match fit away at Leicester.
Yeah.
But by Jesus, the two games since, he's been outstanding. And that young fella, Triang, so he's improving every game.
Trinko.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Trinko.
That's what I'm going to say to you, Mick, when you mentioned Marcel. I've got the other player, to me, who was 50% at Leicester and has come on in leaps and bounds in two games, is Trinko. Jeez, and there was one incident, and I noticed that at the time when he had the shot and it was saved on the line. And it wasn't mentioned in commentary, and I didn't see much of the Sky chat. Well, there was no
chat. That was a penalty. Anyway.
But it was only today on social media I thought, I've seen loads of penalties given.
But that was a penalty. That was that was Daniel James.
Yeah, but it never got a mention, you know, which...
No,
yeah.
I never saw that.
No, he cleaned him out.
Yeah.
When he had the shot, he cleaned him out with the back. He came right through, and he was completely out of control. And he took the legs from under like a skittle.
Yeah.
But he just let the ball across the thing. But he took him out all over the end line.
Yeah.
And it was a stonewall penalty.
Yeah, but there wasn't a mention of it on telly, on commentary.
Yeah.
And Luke Shaw should have been. Luke Shaw shouldn't have been on the pitch. Like, Trincão did a great nutmeg on him in the first half, and he lost the head, and he came back and he fouled him, and that, I think he pulled him back, and he should have got a yellow card for that, and he didn't. And then in the second half, he should have got a yellow card for another foul. So he should have been off the pitch, but...
Fred as well, Tony.
Yeah.
He got away with a number of tackles and stopping fellas early on. And we don't want to see the game stop, but it's a deliberate pullback. And these build up. Like, there was three or four occasions that happened in the game.
Yeah.
And you know, that was the frustrating part for it. But the one thing I was delighted about the whole game was we were listening to media. It's all about Ronaldo. It was all about, you know, it's all this and that. And, you know, and I've said it from the word go. I don't understand why there's negativity from Wolves fans towards this team.
Yeah.
This team is a quality team we have.
Yeah.
And we were playing, everybody thought about United. Our players, like Moutinho and Neves, were outstanding in that midfield. You know, you had Triangle. He, not only did he nutmeg Shaw, but he had a brilliant nutmeg on Harry Maguire.
Yeah, pretty good. You know what I mean?
And they couldn't get it at Traore. And then, you know, as Tony said earlier on, the three boys back in defence, they're really solid as a unit.
Yeah.
Whether it be Soyes, whether it was Marshall, whether it was what you call it, Kilman, Cody, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the boys were able to tackle and tackle up the field. So I wouldn't be worried. The only, as I was saying to you on Sunday, the one area that I find, if you look at the stats of the number of games we played Man United, David De Gea, the goalkeeper, has been man of the match for them on four occasions playing us.
Yeah.
He is a shot stopper.
Yeah.
And if you look at all our training at the minute, all our training is shooting.
Yeah.
And I said, well, we need someone who think a ball. You know what I mean? Because you won't get near it if you start thinking them when they start coming out. Now, I was looking at a few of the goals, this Korean scores.
Yeah.
And he loves the chip.
Yeah.
Yeah, he loves the chip. So I think that's the way we're going to get the goal. All the build-up is good. That is a block on the shots. But you start, the keeper comes out, you start thinking them over the top or into the corners, out of the reach. The shot stoppers are not much good at them ones.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I suppose he likes...
Let's be reading.
He likes the chip and Catroni likes the old pizza, you know. So it's it could be a good combination there. But Tom, I noticed on telly that Dean had a word with Maguire, I assume as captain, in the first half about players. There were a lot of tackles. He gave frees, but he didn't book anybody. And it seemed like he was saying to him, you know, no more. All this for show, obviously, for the cameras, because there were still United players that made fouls that should have been yellow cards. I thought they got away with
him. Maguire and Fernandes were moaning the whole time about tackles not being, Wolves tackles not being given as frees, because that's what they were used to last season.
Yeah.
And Mike Dean let a lot of stuff go that were fair, hard tackles.
Yeah.
And we got the ball off them. Fernandes went down a couple of times and we even kicked the ball out when he was down for no apparent reason. I thought he did well, Mike Dean. Like, that's the new remit from the ref, is to let the game flow and let physical tackles go. But
I agree with you, Tony. The reason he spoke to him was your man wouldn't shut up for that. He wanted to referee the game himself.
Yeah.
And the problem with United had on Sunday was that we were into him like fucking flint. The minute we were hassling him here, and we've done that so far this year, and they weren't getting time on the ball, and they were getting frustrated big time. And Fran had a great interview with, I don't know whether anybody's seen it, but it could have been on United TV. And he said, you know, not enjoying his playing football. He says, from the first whistle, he said, it was mayhem. You know, no time for nothing. He says, from the first whistle, the last one, it was mayhem.
Yeah.
And it was an eye-opener to him, you know, where he was coming from, that you had to do things quick. And that's basically what was happening. As a player, liked to get the ball down and play it around, but he found if he hung on to it, there was someone at his feet.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a fantastic illustration of about what was happening.
Yeah.
And that was a huge frustration with Man United, because for all the people talk about them, when they were put under pressure, the amount of time their players lost the ball, possession of the ball under pressure. You know, Pogba at that time with Neves, he'd lost possession of that. But it happened around the field, and that was frustrating.
But it wasn't...
I Fernandes, you know.
Yeah, and I thought, Mick, you know, it wasn't even pressure at times, or maybe not direct pressure, but I mean, the one that stuck in my mind was just, I think it was the Trinco chance, but like the ball, I think Jimenez kicked the ball. He was trying to find a wing, but he kicked it straight to Fred, who was standing inside their half, nobody near him. And he completely miscued it and kicked it straight, I think he kicked it straight to Traore or Trinco, and he was away. You know, so I mean, it was just, they were actually under pressure, even if it wasn't directly at the time, but obviously in their heads, they were trying to get a grip on what was happening. But we were, as Tony said earlier, I mean, Jesus, we could have been 2 or 3 up after 10. We couldn't believe. I mean, we've had more entertainment making 3 games than we had probably in the whole of last season, you know?
Yeah, well, the other thing too, Tony, which people have to look at, like we had 3 or 4 fantastic seasons. The fans make a hell of a difference to that team. It's oxygen to them. You know, we have the fans back this year. The only difference last year, we didn't have fans there. You had a lot of youngish player here now playing with us. And someone like Smeider were like, this is the first time they're playing at home at Wolves. You know what I mean? Yeah. With a full crowd.
Yeah.
And I know well enough that they were all taken in by this. And that's what I'm talking about dealing with Trincão. I think he's just, you know, he's playing in the Premier League, and he's playing with a club that's fantastic supporters.
Yeah.
And they're playing out there. You know, they have oxygen to keep going, you know, needed for the 90 minutes. And I'd be very, very confident if we can just get that first goal, we'd be flying. You know, I wouldn't be overly worried.
Yeah.
You know?
I was thinking of that joke from years ago there today, when I was thinking about talking this evening about, it was, I can't remember what team it was, but it was a fella. This fella's at a game with his dog, and there's a guy standing behind him, and the opposition scored, and the dog starts barking and going running around in circles, you know? And the fella says to him, yeah, that's very good. He says, oh, he does that when the opposition score a goal, you know? And your man says, what does he do when the home team scores? I don't know, I only have him 2 months. That just came in. It's an old joke. I think it was about Spurs or something. Yeah. But, just kind of, at the moment, that's the way we are. But, I think that we've, getting on to what's coming up, I know we've an international break, but with the games after the international break, I think there's probably 6 or 7 games there, I think, that we could get our form and we could get a few wins under our belt, you know. What do you think? Watford and Brentford are the next two.
Well, my opinion, Jimenez is struggling.
Yeah.
Now, he added a lot. He gave a lot to the team on Sunday, getting the 7 foot of ball. But I said it to the fella beside me there. They should have brought the young lad on earlier. And I'll tell you the reason for that. The young fella is very good in tight situations.
Yeah.
Of laying the ball, getting this man in.
Yeah.
And, you know, if he'd have come on there, he'd have opened, he'd got balls, he would have got balls through with a little quick dodge. As quick as a mind. He's a different type player. And you'll probably find is that we will get more goals off him. But I'm not saying he starts, but he's got to look at, he may need to leave him out for a half a game and then bring him in, Jimenez. But that's what I would look at, because particularly you're playing Watford, and people say, oh, we're playing Watford, we should beat them. But these are the teams who pack the defence.
Yeah.
And the thing is, to me, you've got to have those little quick passes to get behind these fellas. And that's just my own thinking of what's coming up. And you say, games you should win, we should have won the first three. Simple as that.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who they are. Yeah. You know, we have the quality there. And, you know, just I see some fellas there giving out, we haven't signed this fella, and we're the smallest squad ever, and we diss and they moan. And I'm saying to myself, we have, yeah, but what Willie Bolly hasn't got in the team. He was there Saturday. Prudence's, it was so. Neto is out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then you look at Dendonka playing for the top of the top nation in the world, as they call it. He can't get in. It's not as bare as people are making out.
No, and I think Prudence came on. I thought Prudence did very well when he came on Sunday. Like, he seemed to be straight into the pace of the game. And even against Forest the other night, he seems to be really... raring to go, so kind of holding them back for the extra couple of weeks to get properly fit, I think, has probably done them the world of good. And maybe, I suppose, if we got that penalty on Sunday, Jimenez stuck it away, maybe that'll be the difference for him, just a bit of confidence to start finding the net again.
I think, as Mick says, I don't think he's quite right yet. Like, his first touch on Sunday wasn't great. Now, there's a couple of balls came into him and he lost control of it, and it went about 3 or 4 feet away, and then a couple of passes he hit straight at a Man United player. So I think his confidence, understandably, is probably taking a bit of a
battering.
Well, I tell you too, what maybe the Pratt, the opposition are giving them special attention. There's two or three fellas around him, and they're getting at him. They know stuff starts from him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And a crowd now, so he's not getting that little bit of space he was getting before. And if we start getting fellas if forward to him. Yeah. That'll start pulling the defence a bit and maybe giving that little bit of room, you know.
And see, I suppose...
Like we're saying, Tony, we look at Martial in the first game and we said he's not match fit, but he's been match fit since. So maybe after getting those three games for Jimenez and maybe with the break, you know, he may come back. And you're hoping that.
You're saying, like, with Martial and Trinkau, three games, a world of difference in the two. People are kind of... We're expecting Jimenez, I think, that there was so much care and attention being put into him being right before he came back. People were half expecting that. Well, you know, he's been out for 9 months. Great. He should hit the ground running. But obviously, match fitness is a big thing with players. So, and, you know, he's probably only a few weeks back in full training, you know, full contact training. So, I think we did say it a couple of weeks ago that he'd need those three tough games. It was a tough game for a forward.
He took a couple of whacks and a couple of hard tackles. Now he got taken out a few times. Like, he got back up, fair enough.
Yeah.
I just thought he was a bit hesitant when he got his chance.
Yeah.
As Luke says, De Gea is good at shot stopping, and I think he maybe tried to fox him a little bit and tried to put it in at the near post when, and he didn't actually even hit it that hard. It didn't look like he hit it that hard. I haven't seen replay of the game now, but he didn't look like he hit it that hard. And the guy got his foot to it. I looked at the clock, and after 12 minutes, we had at least three excellent chances. Yeah. It could have been 3-0 up.
Yeah.
So the other thing too, the other lad there, And it's words to be said about him. Kilman has, he's getting better game by game.
Yeah.
I did think that in the last 10 minutes, he sort of had thrown up the head. He was struggling a little bit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I must say now, he's been fantastic. And what I like about that defence, people are very, very critical of him, how solid they are. And I tell you what, I wouldn't like to be going for the feckin' ball with some of them fellas in the tackle. There was one late in the match there. It was shortly after the incident. And it was so easy with over the side. And I just be having a crowd. I thought we were going to see a leg in the stand. I was afraid that, okay, you could lose the 3 points, but we didn't want to lose a player.
Yeah.
Being sent off and then lose 3 games with him, you know?
It's funny because, you know, Soyuz was the player that I was thinking of, because everyone is ready to jump on him, that he'd be destroyed on Sunday with the pace of the, you know, Greenwood, James and all these that they did. I mean, he hardly put a foot wrong. Well, you know, the biggest mistake he made was not scoring the blooming goal, which, for a centre half. But anyway, you know, we'd forgive him that. He had one like last year against Villa, I think, the same, didn't he?
Yeah. But look, he's great. It's great to watch him at the back. And the other thing too is, the opposition are afraid of him. You know, he ain't going to pull out.
I think his own players are afraid of him, I think.
Yeah. No, but you need that. When I seen him heading for your man, I had flashes back to what Ella Kobe was saying.
Fresh meat.
But I thought it was a fantastic performance. And then it was great that during the week, there's one or two posts went up about Mike Riley and that.
Yeah.
What was liable to happen. And it came true. And your man Atwell was never going to overturn a Mike Riley decision.
Mike Dean, yeah.
Did that happen too far ahead of the goal? Was that why?
Because it was clear. It happened on the goal. That's how they got possession.
He said it was 50-50.
Yeah, I know they got that, but it wasn't the immediate pass into the guy that scored, was it? Is that why?
It doesn't matter though. No, once it's in the build up, if it's in direct build up, we never touched the ball after that tackle. Like, we had possession, the tackle was made.
Why was it allowed then?
God knows.
The referee said that both of them went in for it and never suggested we did, but I got the ball first, he got me.
Yeah.
So in that sense, it should have been, they won possession from that ball, from that tackle. And that two passes later, the ball was in the back of our net.
Yeah.
And we had stopped. And it wasn't only that, Tony. The problem was in the first half, when that mouthy, bleeding weed of yolk at the back, or up front for United, when he seen us breaking and we had the overload, he went down in the box and was squealing.
Yeah.
And we were flying up the line, and it was Pogba shouted at Semedo to knock it out. So Semedo knocked it out. And look, we had a great scoring chance.
Yeah.
And then when they got the ball back, Maguire got it and knocked it back up to our goalkeeper, which didn't please a lot of fans. But the irony was that when your man went in and caught Neves, he didn't stop or put the ball out. They played on and ended up in the back
and
of the net.
And scored a goal,
That's what Lars said after the game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we put it out.
Yeah.
But they didn't. And it happened to be the same. The player who shouted our player to put it out wouldn't put it out himself.
Yeah, true.
And played on. I got it. And that was a frustration. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then the biggest frustration, we lost the game we should have won.
Yeah, that's
true.
And
as people said to me, it's your own fault you lost. I said it wasn't.
Yeah.
The reason we lost the game was our referee decision.
Yeah.
The reason we didn't win it because we didn't score the goals,
yeah,
the chances. But that's football, you know.
Yeah. But so anyway, we're hopeful for the next couple of games anyway. So just come here, just to wrap up, probably not on a high note. Your trip back to Manchester on the train, I'd say, was fun, was it?
Oh, stop the lights. Stop the lights. I tell you, Tony.
We banned up at the station. I thought some of the Wolves fans were going to throw stuff at us because it was starting to get a bit.
I thought it was funny, Tony. What happened was there was a crowd. We were over at platform 2. That was the train back to Manchester.
Yeah.
And platform 1 was was going down the same direction, but heading off to Wales and all that. And on that platform, there's some United fans and some Wolves fans, and the banter was kicking off. We were on the bloody station for about a good half an hour, 35 minutes, was it, Tony? Yeah.
What happened was they were
baiting one another across the fucking tracks. And you wanted someone to carry on. But I thought the funniest part was our lads were throwing giving them a bit of stick, and they were giving it back. And next thing, the United fans start singing, "He's feeding your kids, Marcus Rashford, he's feeding your kids. And all of a sudden, the Wolves fans was over there with food in the hand, ready to be bogus. They fucked it across the station at us. I thought it was so funny. You know, bogus and hot dog. They came up, they threw it across the tracks. What could you do when he fucking, you know, laughs, you know?
And then the bloody singing on the train, non-stop, all the way up.
There was a few Wolves fans on the train too. So
yeah.
The banter was good, but boy, Jesus.
I don't know, it was a security incident or a medical incident and at Wimslow, do you remember? And we had to...
It was a medical.
Yeah.
Yeah, the train was late anyway, so we thought we were going to miss our connection. In fact, we probably would have missed our connection at Piccadilly out to the airport, so...
Yeah.
We had to jump out of the train at Wimslow and jump in a taxi. Actually, it wasn't actually that far away, but we wouldn't have made it. No,
we're in Wimslow. The train had stopped, and we should have been in Piccadilly at half eight.
Yeah,
and we were only in bloody Wimslow, and it stopped. And then we stopped there for a while, and then we heard there was a medical incident. But happened was your man had too much strength, but he took a turn.
Yeah,
and he took him after and medical and all out there. So I just said to Tony, I said, check. I said, I think Windsor's not far from the airport because we would never have got the flight. Simple as that.
Yeah.
Tony had a look at his thing and he said, it doesn't look too far away. So we got out and we got a fucking taxi.
Yeah.
And your mum was fair enough. I said, listen, we're in a hurry to get to the airport. I think Tony, I'm the fastest taxi man here in there. And I tell you what, Tony, I was telling you there a couple of months ago, I had a major crash in the Jeep.
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you now, I got out of that taxi, and I was more shook up getting out of that fucking taxi than getting out of that fucking crash. Like, he was going side to side.
I
thought it was, well, fair juice. He got us there pretty quick, you know.
I'll tell you, mate.
Cutting the corners.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's three games into the season, and I think we've had probably more adventures in those getting to and getting home and at those games than we've had when we were going over Europe 2 years ago, you know? So
it doesn't end there, Tony. It doesn't end there either. we got back to the airport and we were starving. We'd done since the cab we had in the keys about 12 o'clock, 11 or 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
And we were starving. So we said, Tony opened his mouth and he says, Burger King never fails. We upstairs and every place is closed bar. A bar. We went over the bar and we wanted two cokes and two packets of crisps.
Yeah.
And he says, you have to order from the app. What? You have to order from the fucking app.
This is the crisps, yeah.
From the app. Yeah. So that would took a bit of working out. Why the fuck do we want an app? We might be here again. So we had this. The woman produced her computer thing. She would try it here. I gave it the fucking car and it wouldn't work. So we're back to it. Yeah, well, and we were coming, you know. So she went over and she spoke to your man behind the bar. And I said, two Coke and two packets of crisps. That's all they had. They had nothing else.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, yeah, you can go over now. You can tap. Why the fuck couldn't we do this in the first place? You know what I mean? It was a load of bollocks.
Yeah.
We got 10 fucking pounds for two crisps.
And two Cokes.
Bottles of Coke. Jeez. Yeah. But anyway, we needed them because we were... That was the episode.
So anyway, as you're saying, hopefully the points will start rolling in now after the international break. And listen, it's great to talk to you. Thanks a million for filling me in on what I missed on Sunday. And Mick, we'll see you when I get home 2 weeks' time. Right.
All right.
2 weeks. Yeah.
Good luck. We'll see you.
All right, Tony. I'll see you again, Tony. Okay.
Tony. See you, Mick.
I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week. And you can follow us on irishwolves.org on our website or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.